Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show, entertaining real estate investment talk. I'm Jack Butella.
And I am Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how we are in it for the long haul. Those specific signs that you just know you've kind of turned that corner. You've done a few deals. And you're in it for the long haul.
I thought it was going to be about like, Jill, are you wearing that data is the new bacon t-shirt again? Because you're just so in love with data now, which I never was.
That's one of the signs.
Thank you.
If you're if you did you ever hear those jokes like you might be a redneck?
Exactly. Here's how I know. Every vacation is not really a vacation.
That's a good sign.
It's just an every vacation is not a vacation. It's only a new area to check out property.
That's what it is. That's one of my signs.
We haven't scoured this area yet. I didn't know we'd be looking at property here in, Mazatlan, but I guess we are.
It's just a new data set. Everything's just a new data set.
Exactly. Hey, Jill, while you're in Seattle next week, will you please drive by these locations for me and take some pictures?
Yes. You know, it's funny you bring up Seattle. It's one of the lowest days on market environments in the country.
Here it comes.
For some reason, they can get deals done in Seattle, house deals, in like 6, 7, 8 days.
Here it comes. I'm waiting for it. I'm going to be there.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Stephen K. asks, I'm wrestling with whether to let my buyers handle the final closing documents for filing with the county. As another member, Luke, has pointed out to me, they will screw it up is a possibility. True. The transfer tax is almost 2%, though, and recording is $75 for the first page.
Hello, California.
Right? So I'm contemplating whether to send a closing documents package with instructions or biting the bullet and just paying these fees myself and interfacing with the county.
Jill and I are going to agree on this.
Yeah. I will need original signatures for the transfer tax document from the buyer anyway, though, so struggling a bit with which way to go. I don't. For me, you want me to answer?
Yes,
let me jump in?
Please.
Okay. For me, not a big deal. Honestly, you know.
Which way would you do it? Do you have your seller? Here's the whole story.
I've done it both ways.
What he's saying is this. You post a piece of property on the internet for sale, a $5,000 5-acre property in California, and somebody says, I want to buy this property. And you say, great. I'm going to send you a bill or click on the thing, charge the credit card. Okay, great. You bought it. You send them a deed package. And you sign the deed over to them. A deed is not a contract, by the way. It's just your signature. And you have two choices at that point. You have the money, and you've conveyed the property. And it needs to get recorded. That's the final step. You have two choices. You can record it for the buyer as a courtesy.
Meaning you don't send it to them. You're sending it straight to the county.
Or you can send it to them with the instructions. And it's here's a pile of paperwork. Good luck.
I know.
Figure out the transfer tax, figure out the whole... I would tell you from experience, 20% of the people that you do that with, 20 to 25% will never record the property.
It's true. They don't even know sometimes. They get it. They look at this deed. They think it's like a pink slip and it's all done. And they just put it in their files and they walk away.
That's
so,
right.
And it's not the end of the world. So here's the downside of that. So the guy has it. It's in his safe. He thinks it's all done. It's all cool. He really has no idea. He didn't read your letter at all. So all that's going to happen, Stephen, is you're going to get the tax bills forever.
Yeah.
And you're just going to shred them and throw them away, not even worry about it. So, because it's really not your responsibility. Someday, hopefully he'll figure it out and record it, like when he wants to resell it kind of thing, or, transfer it to somebody else.
If you're selling properties every week, trust me, you want to record it for the for your buyer.
That's,
and you want to charge them for it. It's a revenue source. We charge $400 to record a deed.
That's what I was going to say. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there. So
like I said, I'm saving you.
Save me. You made me lose my train of thought. It's
what?
All good. No, okay. So you record it. Well, here's the problem. That's what I want to say. So let me. What I was going to say was, you send it to him, and these tax bills are coming in. Here's what could happen, speaking from experience here. You have staff changes. Things get moved around. These tax bills keep coming in. And after 3 years of the same tax bill, somebody might think, we might actually own it. And they're in their best interest, your best interest, they research with the county and they go, oh, this one must have fallen through the cracks. And they roll it back into your inventory. And we've done this and we caught them. So you have to make sure and check that, because that could get rolled back in your inventory, and until you go back and look and go, no, I sold it. The guy just never did the deed. You have to be careful of that. So you might create some extra work. So what Jack's saying, which is true, and we, on some of these, we more than now, because we're so good at recording and we're just doing so many deals, it's just too easy. I will charge an extra fee and do it for them.
Right.
And just say, hey, look, I'll make it easy for you. For $50, you won't have to think about it or whatever. It's the recording fees are $75. You know, I might even work out something nice, you know, but the fact that I'm doing the work is really a big deal right there. But we'll record it for them and then it's all done. And then what I do, though, the sellers still want to have something in their hands. So I'll help everybody here. You might say, okay, I got your money. I'm going to record it. Just watch for the county. Technically, you could do this. You could say, I've got your money. The deed is done. I'm sending it in to be recorded or doing online recording, however you're doing it, today. And you will get your final notification that it's done and recorded, because it will come directly from the county to the buyer at that point. So, but this is hard for these buyers. In some counties, it may take weeks, even months for them to get that stuff to them, depending on the county. So I still will, we could scan it in, depends on the person, or we'll send them something, because they always like to have something in their hands showing that it's done. And that's just an extra nice step, and they love you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just basic consumer behavior. Mm-hmm. When you buy something, you want to get something.
Exactly. The other thing why I do that too is I want them to have something in their hands, and I put in there a note that says, if you have any questions, call the county. Because at that moment, technically, I'm out of it. And I don't want this buyer calling me back going, I haven't got it back. And I have to keep saying, call the county. I try to make it real clear, though. Now I've sent it to the county. If you have any questions, call them. Because that's really what they should do at this point. Go, hi, this was sent to you guys on the 1st. I'm just waiting for confirmation. Can you tell me if it's been recorded? Yep. That's really how it should go.
You also could, what we do in an automated fashion is with land is when somebody clicks a button and buys a piece of property, they get a deed the next day. They get a copy of the deed PDF style. So they say, oh, here's your deed. We're recording it for you right now. Thanks very much. Here's a phone number if you have any questions. And that just gives a sense of, it stays off of causing concern or trust issues or any of the internet things that can possibly go on.
Right.
Your job is to make the person feel as comfortable as possible. Because let's face it, doing a real estate deal on the internet is just a little bit weird. I don't get this question too much at cocktail parties anymore, but, you know, it used to be probably 8-10 years ago. People would look at me and say, what kind of nutcase are you that you buy and sell real estate on the internet?
And you've never stood there. You've never looked at it? What do you mean never looked at it? Then you sold it? How can you do that?
Exactly, Joe. Uh-huh. So you want to do everything you can to make sure that everybody's happy and they own it and all of it.
Exactly.
The struggle is a lot of these counties are real rural, so it takes them a long time to do stuff. It takes them a long time to record. You don't see it in that buyer's name for quite some time. So there's issues that happen, but Jill's right. You can wrap it all up in a doc prep fee. That's what we call it. Mm-hmm. $399 for a doc prep fee, and we record the property for you. Mm-hmm. And they just build it into the price. People are used to paying extra. I don't know where or how this happened in our country, but people are used to seeing the price of something is $100, and then, but oh, it's really $120 at the end.
Exactly.
With taxes and these distribution or destination fees and the whole thing.
Exactly.
So use that to your advantage.
Destination fees. Have you bought a car recently?
Yes, I have.
Wonder where that came from.
Today's topic. How the signs that we are in it for the long haul, like we alluded to in the beginning of the show. Oh, this is the meat of the show. What are the signs that happen where all of a sudden you catch yourself doing something that's not normal and it's like, man, you have that real estate itch. You have borderline issues with your career.
One of them you just said, it's like you're at a dinner party. You're like, What do you mean? Yeah, we do it all totally online. What's your problem? No, I'm just kidding. It's not a big deal.
Jill was communicating to me recently. She was at an event where there are a lot of people standing around and talking. And one person worked for Apple Computer. And they couldn't wait to not work for Apple Computer because they found out what she does for a living. And everybody stops what they're doing. And they say, what do you mean you buy and sell houses and make money?
Mm-hmm.
How many diamonds are you wearing right now?
That was actually funny when you said that. Like, I didn't realize what I put on that day.
Everybody wants to flip houses. Mm-hmm. Or they think they do. I think I blame HGTV.
I do too.
So, Jill, what do you think are some of the signs that you may have an unhealthy...
oh, my gosh.
You know, the title says you're in for the long haul. What are some of the signs? But really, I think there's some unhealthy pathological addiction that goes on to be that successful in it like we are.
Okay. Well, one of them is you can't drive down a street like a normal person and just look at the scenery.
Oh, yeah.
You know you have this problem. You know you're in it for the long haul when you have a Redfin app constantly open, and everywhere you go, you're going, hey, that just sold for 2.1. Hey, that's this.
Are you speaking from experience?
Yes. No, it's a good thing, though. I think it's a good thing.
Jill and I have not driven in a car together where I've actually driven in a long time. I always sit shotgun, and I look at, I'm on the screen saying, oh, my gosh, there's a pocket of potential...
It's true. It's fun.
Subdivision, you know.
Hey, what's that worth?
Right.
We do that. Yep. That's just how we drive.
Look how that's presented.
Exactly. That's terrible. That's another one. How you look at these. You're on social media. You're on social media critiquing other sellers and buyers. I do that all the time. I'm like, okay, that was stupid. Why did you pay that? You know, I'm constantly doing that. I see, because you and I are in social media on all these Facebook groups where there's a lot of properties floating around and a lot of people trying to sell assets. And they're like, what you're talking about, they renovated them and they put them back out there. And I'm still not totally in agreement with their pricing, you know, on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a issue when all of your you used to be looking to see who's having babies and now you're just looking to see who's doing deals.
I know. It's true.
That's what goes. There's a sign you're in it for the long haul.
I never went through the baby stage.
So, well, that, yeah.
But some version.
Or who got promoted. You're looking at your friends and, oh, look who went to this show or they're traveling.
Right.
No, who's doing all my Facebook, and you could easily tell too, Facebook's made some recent changes where they're really trying to critique, they're really trying to pull up what you look at the most, they can tell.
Yeah.
And it's none of mine is social. It's all business.
Yeah, me too. Oh, yeah. I don't have a social.
It's all hilarious.
Social Facebook presence. It's all.
So.
It's all real estate driven.
Funny. So, yeah. I'm trying to think of what's another good
one. I said to myself before we started this episode, I'm like, I'm not going to use the obsessed word, but it's obsessed. If you are really, I spend every waking work hour looking and reviewing at how to do a deal faster or looking for diamonds in the rough, like, wow, this is a good market, or wow, this is a great townhouse / condominium complex. It's grossly undervalued, in my opinion, for the location. Or just essentially just finding a diamond in the rough where you can buy a piece of real estate, do nothing to it at all, market it in a different channel, and sell it for more.
Mm-hmm.
That is really what I look for. So when everything else is an offshoot of leading to that, back to that. So if I say, wow, that house is really... whoever rented that house is perfect for the environment. They did this, minimal cost. That's really what I'm saying is they created some value or created some equity in a real estate deal. And it almost never has to do with renovation and almost always has to do with finding a pocket on a map, a pocket of property that's just a little bit outside the mainstream that's half the price.
Right.
Like north of Los Angeles here, up in the mountains, there's all these little mountain cabin communities. And if you go slightly, maybe 3 to 4 to 5 miles out of the ring of properties,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's it a drops. Massive,
yeah,
dramatic reduction in price. I mean, true. I'm talking about $600,000 or $700,000 cabins, and then 2 or 3 miles out of that, you can buy dirt that's buildable. It's ready to build for less than 10 grand.
Yeah.
That's an easy sell.
Mm-hmm.
We have members that are killing it up there for, you know, for whatever reason, we haven't chosen to purchase land in those communities yet, but mm-hmm. it's probably because we're having so much luck with houses right now.
I know.
But that's what I look for.
What's another funny thing that you're in it for the long haul? Trying to think. What do I do?
I know
what you do. You drive around. You're always thinking about it.
I've wrecked your vacations. I know it.
That's okay. No, it's all good. It's, you know what? It's what you love to do. Mm-hmm. You know? And me too. You know what? You know you're in it for the long haul where you don't think about anything else. There's no part of me that says, you know, I think I want to do X, or gosh, I've always wished.
Oh, you considered another career?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I haven't done that since I was 19.
Right? Exactly. You know what else?
You're right, Joe.
And I've never even considered working for somebody else. I can't. There's no way. I couldn't go back.
Yeah, why would you?
Isn't that funny? And I'm not afraid anymore. I know a lot of people that look at us and go, wow, you know, they love the idea of being their own boss, but the thought of having employees and having that responsibility is too overwhelming for them to take on. But for us, I'm like, no, we got this. I am so confident in what we do that I don't worry about our employees, and I don't worry about.
I was just going to say that word.
The paycheck's clearing. I don't worry about, you know, all of the money in the bank. I don't worry about any of that.
I have deal confidence, and I remember when it happened, because when you start out, it's like, man, I did everything that the guy said to do. I sent the letters out. They came back. I don't know. I just don't know. And you have to get over that. I've gotten over it long since, but that is a sign that you're in for the long haul.
Yep.
If you get a property back, you look, spend 4 minutes on the internet, you research the whole thing, and you say, yep, we should buy it. Or no, I know we offered $7,000, but at $4,000, that's a huge insurance policy. Bang, bang, bang. That level of deal confidence, you're in.
Yep. I don't worry, because what do? Like, even our members send out more mail.
Yep.
You're never going to run out of deals. That's
the
funny.
No, it's not possible.
Dude, I got to tell you this. I was looking last night. I'm on social media, right? And this thing pops up where this guy is selling a program.
Welcome to Jill's ambition.
This guy is selling this program.
Jill just turned the corner.
And it just said, here's how to get 2 deals a month.
Yeah.
What the heck? Who pays money to follow somebody's program for 2 deals a month? We're talking 2 deals a day. We could do more than that.
Oh my gosh.
I just, like, I don't understand what has to go so wrong that we think that's really, really good.
I'll answer that.
And we're selling this as a positive thing?
I'll answer it.
Go for it.
Because they're not in it for the long haul. It's not an obsession. It's a side business.
I just fear they don't know what they're doing.
It's just a side business. So you want to do 2 deals a month, you said? Great.
No, he's like saying this is a great, I'm winning. I do too. I can tell you, and I can teach you.
It's just like you said a couple episodes ago, that money, it's all relative. Money's relative. Well, 2 deals a month for somebody is if they're 2 house deals a month and they're making 10 or 20,000 bucks, that's not so bad, Joe.
Okay.
40,000 bucks a month is pretty good. So.
Okay.
You know, but I agree with you. I think that's a full-blown, perfect
hilarious example
of they're not really taking it seriously like a career.
Maybe they just don't know what to do. That's my other thing, too. So I'm here to tell you, man, if you want 2 deals a month or 2 deals a week or 2 deals a day, we can help you. That's what we do. Just turn it up, turn it down. There's no shortage of property out there, everyone. Seriously.
Absolutely.
Whether it's land, whether it's a house. We haven't even started to talk about apartment buildings. You and I have talked about it a little bit in the past. We haven't been focusing on it right mm-hmm. now. But you guys, it's out there. It's not a problem. You want your phone to ring? Oh, we'll make your phone ring.
Exactly.
There you go.
Like I've always said, if you can do 2 deals a month, mm-hmm. you can do 200. Mm-hmm. If you can do 200 deals a month, now it's a system situation. Mm-hmm. The deals themselves are incredibly easy to find, but processing that many transactions mm-hmm. takes a whole different talent.
That's true.
That's another way you know that you're in this for a long haul, when you're setting up systems to process that many deals.
That's a good point.
And guess what happens when we set up our systems are set up to do process 2, then 20 deals, then 200, and now it's 2,000. Mm-hmm. It just never stops.
Exactly.
Finding the deals is easy. Maybe that's how you know. When you say that sentence, think about Luke Smith, one of our real successful members.
That's good.
You think he's in it for the long haul?
I don't know.
You think he's got the deal confidence?
Maybe. I think he does.
Does more deals than us.
Yep. I love it.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 20 minutes with us listening to the Jack and Jill Show. Join us tomorrow where we discuss infill lots or large acreage deals. Which ones are better for you?
And we answer your questions, should you have one, posted on our online community found on jackjill.com. Go there. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
That was good.
I think so, too.
I like that. I'm trying to think of some other funny things that, you know, I guess you know you're in it for the long haul. When you're so far past it, you don't even think about not being in it for the long haul.
Right.
It's like there is no other option. So, you know, if anything crazy happens, let's just say anything really, really crazy, catastrophic happens, the business is never going to go away. We're just going to change how we do it.
I'm going to ask you a couple of questions here in the after show.
Okay.
Any previous job you've ever had, did you know that you were going to be there forever? Did you just accept it?
No.
Me either. How about a previous relationship? Did you know you're going to be there forever?
Me too. Yeah. I tried. I wanted to.
How about this relationship?
I'm trying. I want to. Jack, in case you haven't noticed, I'm in it for the long haul. How's that?
If you're sitting around saying, you know, the only thing really stable in my life is my career.
That's awesome. Oh, wow. Okay. Hey, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you are listening. And while you're at it, hey, rate us there. We are Jack and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property. You know I adore you.
I know.